I feel tonight like I'm back to community chapel. Now let's move on in God. We have got the victory. We are sons of God, and we need to rise to full position. We need to walk with our sonship armor on. Hallelujah. Amen. With our sonship uniform on, all polished up and head held high. We are sons of the King. We've got a right to walk in victory. And I want to tell you, if you're hanging back with an old, dead, denominational, I've got a right to sing and shout. You know, brother, we have got to get free. I mean, you've got to open up inside. You've got to just decide that this is yours. I don't mean to just try to drum up a lot of emotion, but I mean to get up and take your position in God and just begin to praise Him. Just begin to say, yes, Lord, I yield to you. And I would like to say this in closing. A number of you say, I just feel so choked, I can't do it. I feel so like a cloud over me. I know what you mean. And it's a demonic force. And it means, therefore, if you're going to get free, don't waste years till you finally wake up and decide you could have got rid of that cloud long ago. Bind together with a group of friends and have a get loose from the devil meeting. And get a good 12 circle over to your house. And you begin to take victory over that thing in the name of the Lord. You begin to stand in the name of the Lord. You begin to do that until you can sing and shout in that household and be free. And you know you can. You get together and you can test the devil on the grounds of Jesus Christ and His Word. And you begin to claim it, and you begin in that place, just you 12 bound men and women, singing and praising and so forth, God will begin to set you free. And you begin to do that, we won't have anybody who's not free. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give it to us, Keith. Okay. So nice to have Keith Gunn, pastor of Community Chapel, Bible Training Falls, Bible Training Center at Chippewa Falls, and a couple of his good friends with us that we've met and learned to love already so fast. We have learned to love these people when we meet them very quickly, because the Lord is there, and wherever the Lord is, the love is there. We've grown to love the eldership so much as they was out here. Every time we meet the people of God that have got the Spirit of the Lord in them, there is a bond. Something reaches out and just takes hold. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. As Don was mentioning about Chippewa Falls, it reminded me of one of the tapes, and we get all of the tapes of the services back home. And on one of the tapes, one of the brethren, I don't know, remember where he's from, but he mentioned us as Wichita Falls. And I think maybe some of you remember hearing it. But anyway, we got a chuckle out of that. We've been called a lot of things. Hallelujah. Our elders would have loved to come. They really would have. And we just appreciate the work that's being done out here and the impact that it's had upon us. And I just appreciate and thank the Lord for a touch tonight. I can't say that this has been the most the best vacation so far that I've been on. But tonight, God just really began to move upon me, and I just appreciate it. And if I mention all of the unusual things that have happened on the trip so far, some of the new Christians might be tempted to pull a Demas and forsake the ways of the Lord, because this has been an unusual trip, and I'm not going to say that it hasn't. And I believe, possibly, some of it has been because of the tremendous victories that we've had. And I've had some deliverances, and I want to share a little bit about it just in a few moments, but I had some tremendous victories and deliverances, and myself. And I don't know if it's if the enemy is contesting it or exactly what's happening, but we've been through a number of things, you know, like stopping at nice, reputable gas stations along the way and ending up with one of our gas tanks with almost 2 gallons of water in it. And that's, you know, when you don't know what it is, it's a real confusing thing. Well, and then spending several days trying to figure out how to get the water out. And that's even harder. But anyway, that was taken care of. The Lord has given us some insight in that, and that's taken care of. And then I went down to view Saltwater State Park and slipped on a rock and landed flat on my back. And anyway, that has been one of those other things that's happened, and it's been an unusual thing. Now, those are just a couple. And as a result, I haven't been able to use my hand. Well, we prayed for it, and it's rapidly getting better, and tonight I've got the best use of it. But anyway, in the spirit, I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. But as far as these other things, and then the rain. Back home, no rain. But a lot of hot. I really appreciate the work. I appreciate the service tonight. I really appreciate that. We've been getting all of the tapes and the services that have been out here, and we have just been blessed and blessed and blessed. And there's one tape especially that has Alice Ricks and Ellen Wade, I believe, that are singing in the spirit, and they sing three different songs, and one of them is Here Comes the Army. I can't remember the other two. And anyway, that song is in about every one of the homes of our, or those three songs in our church, plus about a half a dozen other churches. And we, as we've walked into other churches that we've had new fellowship with, and it's not uncommon in pre-service prayer, which they're starting in some of them, to hear that tape being played before the service. And when we got it, I was doing some work at the church, and I was up on a scaffold, and that tape began to play, and I had my doubts whether I was going to stay up there, what was going to happen. And I just felt the presence of the Lord come upon me, and I called some of the other people in, and they began to listen to it. And now, in many of our services, at least in our prayer services, we have it playing quietly in the background, and we could just feel the presence of the Lord in that. That was a blessing, tremendous blessing to us. We have a couple that came out with us. We've been planning a trip for some time, several years, as a matter of fact, with a young couple, and God has done a tremendous thing in their lives. It's Bob and Pauline Hayes, and I don't know if both of them want to come up and share or not, but God has rearranged their marriage and done a tremendous thing in them. And Pauline ministers in song in our church, and she's been one of those blessings to me that I've just asked her a number of times, and I just needed that special anointing, And I've had her come and minister a song, and God has really blessed me. And I just wonder if both of them or one of them would like to come up and just share. They were one of the first couples that came into our church, and I just got to share something. I don't know if this is a good presentation, but we began to have services in our home north of Chippewa, and this is, I believe, the first service we ever had. Jerome McGinnis was there ministering, and Pauline had been to a number of services, and Bob hadn't, I believe. I'm not sure. But anyway, we were sitting there, and we're just getting ready to have the service one night, and there was a lot of people there, and suddenly Bob comes bursting through the door. And anyway, we'd never met him before. And what had happened was, he wasn't really decided up to that point whether he really wanted to come. And his wife was behind him, and she helped him. I don't know if I should have shared that, but I thought I just had to.
I love that testimony. Oh, praise the Lord. I'll testify first. As an intro like that. Oh, Jesus has done such a wonderful thing in our lives. And as Keith said, Bob and I, our relationship was really kind of on the wrong side. It was kind of me leading and Robert behind. And Bob and I have loved the Lord now for like 9 years. I've been saved 9, 10 years. And we've been part of Community Chapel for about 7 years. We've been since the beginning, as Keith said. But we had our problems, just like many people have. We started out in a marriage relationship that, with all odds, even in the world, was really against us. Even my father, on the day I was married, made a bet with my sister that our marriage would last but a year. And we started out with just a lot of things against us. But we loved the Lord, and we were determined that through counseling and things that God was going to do a work. Well, it's been a long time. And we went through many things. We had many marriage counselors. We were prayed. Bob and I both went through many major deliverances in our lives. And yet still, things just were not the way that they should be. There was like a separation between us. And there were things that were in Bob that should be in me, and there were things in me that should have been in him. I mean, just two personalities that clashed. And yet, I knew that God was going to be faithful. Well, in this revival, where it began in our home. And the very first thing that God did was he did a miracle in our relationship. The Spirit of God came down in our living room one night when Bob and I were sitting on the couch, and God did an exchange, as it were. And Ronnie and Betty Gunn, they were one of the elders that were here, they saw our spirits, and the Lord was doing a miracle, and it was like a cloud lifted up off in Bob and went into me, and there was a thing on me that a spirit or a cloud that went into Bob. And Ronnie said he knew at that instant that God had done an exchange, that finally God gave Bob that position that he needed. There were things put in me that weren't there. There were things that were put in Bob that needed to be there, and our relationship was set aright in God. Right then, it was a miracle, and it was something that we had tried to do, that we'd sought God, we had been under counseling, and we'd tried in ourselves, but we couldn't do it. And yet, the Lord came down, and he did, which was impossible to do in ourselves. And that just shows you the love of God, the mercy and grace of God. When you call upon him, he is able. Our God is able to do those things. He is able to heal those marriages. He is able to do those things that take a miracle to do, because God did it in us, and we're the living proof of it, and we've been enjoying our marriage ever since. Hallelujah.
Yes, as Pauline said, that God did do a miracle that night. And he's done other miracles in my life, too. And it's just like I've entered into a new relationship with God. I've not only learned how to love him, but I've learned how to love my wife. And I'd just like to take a moment here. We were out ministering to another brother and sister in the Lord at home. And when we got done that night, we went home. And I was so different to see my wife and myself ministering together as one. As one in God. And I woke up the next morning with such a love for my wife that it would just overwhelm me. It wasn't my love, but it was the love that Jesus placed in my heart for my wife. And he's done so many other things. He's thank you, Jesus. He has placed an intercession in my life that I never thought that I could ever have with the Lord, a love relationship of intercession for the body of Christ. And I just can't express the words, but I get off from work, all I want to do is come to the church and pray. That's all I can think about, is praying for the body of Christ. Not just my body back in Chippewa Falls, but for this body and the body throughout the world, that God is going to use that man-child. And I just love and appreciate every one of you. And I'll tell you another thing, too, that God has delivered me from, and that's from a fear, from standing up here and looking out amongst you, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'd like to also have my wife, if she would come up and just mention something before I share some of the other things I'd like to share. This, Bob and Pauline are the couple that Don has mentioned that were in the beginning. And as a witness of the power of God, and one of the things, that's why I wanted them to come up and share, and of course a lot of us, because we know them a lot better than you do, we're more familiar with the tremendous change that's taken place. Now, one of the things is the power of God and what God does has got to be lasting. It's got to be lasting. And we've seen a lot of things that have not been lasting, just temporary things. But this couple has been a proof of the grace and the mercy and the lasting power of God. And it's been a growing thing. And Bob is not, his personality has not been one that would intercede. But every day I see his truck over at the church about 5:30, and he can be there many, many hours and just in prayer. And that, I believe that intercession is what has been bringing us through to another place in God that God is having us to get to. So.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good to be here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has done a miracle in my life in the last month or so. He's been doing miracles ever since I've been saved, about 15, 16 years. But just in the last, I'd say a month, maybe 3 weeks to a month, God, I went through a deliverance. And I knew I needed a deliverance, but you never know what areas, because if we're human, usually we need some kind of deliverance somewhere. Otherwise, God would take us home if we were too perfect. But God has, I don't really know where it come from, but I know through the deliverance, God put Keith and I together as one in the Spirit. We were always together. We felt that we had a real good marriage, and when we were around people, we always kind of compared our marriage to their marriage, and we felt that our marriage was as good, if not better, than just about anybody that we've met. And we got along good, and we worked together, we ministered together, and we just loved the Lord together, and we were able to pray together. But there was a little area, and I feel now that it was probably the enemy that was lying to me. And when I prayed with my husband, I felt I was bothering him. And so I prayed with him for a while, but then I'd go off and pray with other people because I didn't want to bother him. And I really felt this way, and I don't know if many of you feel that way or not, but it just seemed like I could go pray with other people, and we could just touch heaven together. But when I prayed with Keith, I was afraid to let myself go too much because I didn't want him to think that I was usurping any authority over him or anything. So I just kind of prayed with him and just kind of, you know, just didn't let myself go in the Spirit. But I went through a deliverance one morning, I was kneeling in the bathroom, and I started weeping, and I just wept and wept. And if you ever felt like you've wept from your toes up, you know, it just comes welling and building and building, and you can't make it up, and you can't turn it off. It just come out in wells of tears. And as I was crying, I felt this feeling of I was not loved. Nobody loved me. Nobody loved me, and nobody needed me. And at times, this thought would come across me about my husband, and then I'd sit there and argue and say, well, of course he loves me, and of course he needs me. But I realized it was a lie of the enemy, that it was the enemy that was telling me these things. And I was yielding to it. And I just thought it was personalities, and you know, you blame everything else but the enemy sometimes. And as I wept there that morning, Keith come and laid his hands on me, and he says, deliver her, Lord. And he said he doesn't even remember saying that, but God took that opportunity to deliver me, and I felt I was delivered from a spirit of rejection, maybe. It come out. Nobody loved me, and nobody needed me, but when I got done weeping and rebuking it in the name of the Lord, oh, it just put us together in one spirit, and now I can pray for him, and just get that victory and just love him all the more. And, oh, my, God has just done a beautiful work in our relationship in the Spirit. And I want to say we were one before. We didn't think there was anything wrong. And he didn't know it, and I didn't know it. All as I felt kind of not free like I wanted to be free. I could pray for other people. Like I said, there was something there. And the enemy, sometimes he works in subtle ways. And I thought it was my bashful personality that I used to have before I knew the Lord, and I'm blaming all these things. And since that time, God has really moved. And different times when Keith gets under a real pressure from the ministry or from situations, he says, honey, please come and pray for me. He says, I need your prayers. And I pray for him, and in a minute it's lifted. And oh my, God has just put us together in one. I feel like a little puppy following him around and just loving every minute of it. When he turns around, pats me on the head. I have to say, I mean, it's just a thrilling, thrilling thing. And I hope I didn't confuse you, but oh my. Ask God to make you one in the Spirit in your marriage. It's fantastic, and it's going through the church. Many of our elders and their wives, since they've been out here, God has perfected them in the Spirit. He's put them together as one, where before they could pray with other people and they could pray with each other at times. But oh my, now they almost crave each other's prayers, and God is putting them one in the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. A few minutes, I'd like to share just some of my own experience in being delivered of something. You know, if anyone would have told me that I needed some deliverances, I suppose we all need deliverances, and we just take it as a general thing. But if someone would have told me that I needed a deliverance in several of the areas that I'd been delivered in the last several weeks, I would have never believed it. I would have said, no, I can't believe that. I just can't believe it. But I've undergone some more spiritual surgery, and God has done something that I appreciate it, and tonight I just appreciate it, and I know in the last week or so, I realize there's some other areas. God is starting to point out some of the things to me, and anyway, that I need some deliverance in, I need some help in. And I believe one of the things is just the recognition of it, just realizing that I needed it. That has helped me to be set free more than anything. You know, there's an element of pride the enemy would like to build up in us and say, no, you don't need it. But I did need it. And once I got it, oh my, what a difference it made. I just really appreciate it. Some people, different ones have asked us, they've said, what's happening back in Wisconsin? And I haven't shared a lot. I've, as far as specifics, and I'm not going to, there's some of the things that I've shared with Don that, because there's strange things. You know, whenever you're in the things of God, there's always some strange things that are happening, and we don't know. I came out and asked some questions and concerning some of the things, and we're not sure. You know, it's hard to know exactly what God is doing sometimes until afterwards, you know, just like the deliverance. But anyway, there's a lot of things happening. And at first, people began to, you know, right after the initial revival took place, and just about everybody in the church was affected and touched mightily by what God was doing, then there was a letdown. And I don't know exactly why. I don't know, you know, maybe the Lord is you know, just showing us how dependent we need to be upon Him. And maybe some of it is because suddenly we're finding ourselves in the front lines of battle. You know, God has empowered us for something, and now there's an enemy there, and we're beginning to come up against him. I don't know exactly what's happened. And God, in this initial part of this revival, I don't know what impact it's had on everybody and out here or back home, but there are several things that happened as a result of God's working in the manifestations and things that happened back home. And one of the things that happened to me was that I got a tremendous look at how big our God is. I got a new respect, a new admiration, a new feeling of my own worthlessness in relationship to how great and overpowering and wonderful and mighty He is. Now, I didn't get a full picture. If I did, it would have been the end of me. But I got a partial picture. And what it did, it gave me a new respect. And then, what God is doing now, and I don't know, you know, how accurate or anything, but suddenly He's letting us see the enemy. And some details and some things about the enemy that we've never known and what we're up against and how deceptive and the liar that Satan is. And I'm getting a new recognition, not respect or not fear, but a new recognition of what we're up against. And Satan has begun to come against people, and God has been raising up a standard. And we found ourselves in the middle of a new battle, and many people in our body are beginning to get significant deliverances, tremendous deliverances. And we have seen some things in the last few weeks that have just, we've just sat there and just looked in wonder at what God is doing. Because God has done things, you know, we've had a lot of deliverance services, and we've had people come up, and we've laid hands on them, and we prayed for them. But what's been happening as we get together, suddenly the unexpected things are happening. And without knowing, God is revealing things, and He's revealing things and giving people discernment, and suddenly, things are really beginning to happen. And so we're entering into another place. Now, I don't know exactly what's happening yet because it's brand new. But God is giving deliverance. And it's making us see the need of that armor in Ephesians 6th chapter, that taking on the full armor and the necessity. Because this natural man will never stand against an enemy like that. We can't stand. And the Bible says, greater is He that is in us. It doesn't say greater are we. It says greater is He that is in us. And that God that's inside of us can overcome that enemy. But I've realized that my flesh and my intellect And my own mentality, my abilities are no match for that enemy. I just can't stand against him. And I've tried it. And I've fought many battles with the enemy in my natural man. I don't know if, I'm sure other people here have done the same thing. I fought him and I've done all kinds of things. And recently God has begun to show me that I can't do it. I need his power. And that's, I tell you, that if there's any revelation that's been hitting us lately, it's been that one. We found out how useless we are against him. He's been warring against the minds, against mine, fear, mistrust. You know, God wants us to become one. That's what the Bible says. And the prayer of Jesus was that they might become one. It's God's desire that we could become completely one. So what is Satan trying to do? Divide us. That would be one of his main objectives. And his biggest, I would say one of the biggest areas of attack, and I mean, there, you know, this is just my opinion, is mistrust among the brethren. Mistrust. Mistrust. And even bigger is the mistrust that he tries to build in the church towards the elders and the pastor. And the Bible tells us that the pastor and teachers were given for a number of specific reasons, the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And one of them is to perfect and to bring unity. To bring unity by teaching the same thing and bringing the word and etc. And so what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to bring fear and mistrust. If he can get the people of the body to mistrust the pastor in any way that he can do it, and this body has knows what I'm talking about. I mean, there's been a lot of attempts and a lot of attacks. And we've had it back home minorly. I mean, we haven't had anything like you've gone through, but we've had those attempts and those attacks by the enemy to bring, foster mistrust for those in leadership. And our world in this, you know, the day that we're in, this world, this society has done a tremendous, not tremendous, but a horrible thing, you know, as far as bringing mistrust for leadership. You know, so many people are running around with carrying signs against the president, against this one and against that one. And so it's brought a lack of trust even into the churches. We're beginning something that I believe is especially happening. Tonight I experienced something, and I have since I've been here, even though I just really, you know, like I said, the rain and a lot of other things, and I was sick Friday night, and, you know, and just different things that have happened. But in spite of that, God has just done a tremendous thing in me, and just in the last couple of days especially. And tonight, a couple of the brethren were praying for me, and as they prayed, I could just feel the unity in the Spirit and that love of God just begin to flow, and I just appreciate it so much because I'm beginning to understand how much I need it. You know, my personality in the past, and I don't know, you know, those that know me, I don't know if you even, maybe don't even realize it, but I'm kind of a lone individual. I would preferably, you know, accept that I'm married and have a wife, and I'd preferably be out in the lake in a boat someplace. And I could fish 7 days a week without ever talking to anybody. And a lot of people need fellowship, and I really never have. I was raised in the woods and on the boondocks, you know, out on the shore of a lake, and you grow up in that environment. But lately, God has begun to show me the necessity of the brethren. Yeah. And as people in the body back home have begun to pray for me, I have just felt the power and the glory of God coming down and new anointings, things beginning to happen. You know, just like a place of refuge. And I was thinking of that tonight, you know, in just relationship to the church. And I thought, you know, God is preparing the place of refuge where we can run to, we can be in the midst of the brethren, and they can be praying for us and ministering to us. And, you know, the enemy, he just can't break into that circle. It's a tremendous thing. But we're beginning to know each other in the Spirit. And we've been having messages on the necessity of not listening to the enemy and not, you know, some of the things that we've been hearing from here for a long, long time, but becoming a reality in a new sense suddenly. You know, the enemy wants to feed our minds with whatever he can feed him with. And if we listen to him, he can have us down and out just as easy as can be. But when we begin to minister to one another and pray for one another, suddenly we begin to know each other in the Spirit, and it's setting up a real defense against the enemy. Stopping, you know how natural it is for us to put words in somebody else's mouth or interpret what somebody else says, even though their hearts are saying something different, you know. And true communication, you know, I believe is knowing the heart and the spirit of somebody. And then instead of interpreting what we think we heard, you know, interpreting the whole picture at the same time. I think it's important. We begin, like I mentioned, with a majority of our people really experiencing things. And then there was a letdown. And I thought, oh, is this it? Is this the end of our revival? After all of these things? I mean, I've seen things like I guess I've heard of them, but I've never seen them, that's for sure. And I've seen, manifestations and lives changed and all kinds of things happen. And I thought, is this it? And then some of the people that were slain in the floor for 3 or 4 hours, unable to move. And then when I talked to them and they said, well, I'm glad that I was slain in the spirit, but nothing happened. I'm not any different. And so I thought, what is this? You know, you mean to tell me that God has done something here to no avail? Do you mean to tell me that the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and they were slain in the Spirit and they couldn't move for 4 hours and nothing happened? And I thought, you know, it doesn't seem to me like that's the kind of a God that we serve. It seems to me like if God does something, he does it for a reason. And one of the reasons is because we are not so apt ourselves, I believe, to notice the change that's taken place. There's been a lot of changes take place in me that other people have noticed that I didn't even notice. And I looked at the people in the church, a number of them back home, and they said, well, nothing's happened to me. And I sat down and I told them what I've seen happen to them. And they said, that's right. It has happened. And that's the thing that, you know, the enemy would like to come along and say, God, nothing's happening. No change took place. And then the other side of the coin has been some of our people that, and it's been only a few, but some of them have had no experience of any kind. They didn't dance in the spirit. They didn't fall on the floor. They didn't laugh. Nothing happened. And so they begin to get discouraged, but they waited on the Lord and they prayed and they sought the Lord and nothing happened. And then the Lord began to show us, you know, we're not after the experience. We begin to see that earlier than they did, but I mean, they're not after the experience. They're after the change. And in these same people that were waiting upon the Lord day after day after day after day, their lives were changing. Now, they didn't realize it because, like I said, we didn't realize the changes that were taking place. I didn't realize some of the changes until I got out here and people told me. I didn't realize it. It became a natural part of me suddenly in the spirit. And so every single one, I believe, or just about everyone in our body has changed a lot. And we've been able to point out these changes with them. And so even though they might not have felt something, you know, when God put them down in the spirit and they laid on the floor, there was a spiritual work being done, and sometimes it takes a while. And it took some people 2 or 3 months, I'd say, before they really noticed what had happened. Tremendous change. And some of them that experienced nothing after a couple of months, as they were looking at themselves, they said, I've really changed. Well, I'm praying. I'm seeking the Lord. And one of the main things that's been happening that as a result of what, you know, of the revival has been the new increased love for God's Word. There's been such a new thing that, you know, we begin to preach and you can just feel it. You know, I believe the other night Don was mentioning about he was praying for an anointing upon the listeners. I think that wasn't that just the other night that I heard him praying. And I thought, you know, we don't realize, a lot of us, you know, we're saying, Lord, anoint that minister, anoint that message. And we're praying for the message to be anointed while our minds are off daydreaming someplace. But we need the anointing to receive that thing. And through recently, we've noticed that there's such a new interest in the Word of God and in the messages. And so we've come a long ways in a short time. We've not arrived at a state of perfection. We haven't suddenly become perfect. And my wife mentioned about something about being perfect, and I thought I better, you know, explain that. I mean, to a new place of perfection, but they're not perfect yet. But we are seeing some tremendous changes taking place. And also, God has put a number of people in our body who have been interceding. Now, this is not new to us, but the method of intercession is new. When people are, you know, wake up in the middle of the night or run from their job and fall on their face and lay on their face on the carpet, pouring out their hearts and praying in an intercession for 3 or 4 hours, that's new to us. Because our intercession before is we've gotten together and we've just prayed and prayed and prayed. And those that we felt, you know, that if we said, well, if you feel like you have a spirit of intercession, come and pray with us. And those that are intercessors. But suddenly God has done something and people know they're intercessors. And I believe that there are many people out here that have experienced the same thing. And maybe quite a while before, you know, a long time ago, I don't know. But it's a new thing to us. And in this sense, and in some of our services, we've had, you know, as we begin to have the service, and even though we've had some tremendous services, some of them, even now, it just seems like there's something hindering them, and they don't want to, doesn't want to flow in the Spirit, and so it's not uncommon to have several people get up and go in the prayer room and begin to intercede. And I believe that God is using that to change the whole structure of what's going on back there. I believe that intercession is having a tremendous, and now, like I said, I believe. When I say I believe or I think, I want you to understand that that's all it is. That's what I think is happening. We are watching these things take place. And tremendous deliverances that are taking place. And I had a deliverance, and I was contemplating whether I should be real specific about it, and I don't think I will, but anyway, one night as I was being prayed for, I was aware that there was an area in me that was affecting my ministry. And as I was aware of this area, you know, I was trying to think, now what is it? What is it? There's something affecting me, what is it? And it just wouldn't come to me. I couldn't realize it, and I didn't know what it was. And so people begin to pray for me, and they begin to pray, and suddenly it was all, as if something broke loose from me, and it was just gone. And as it went, suddenly, in I would say less than 30 seconds of time, I was taken all the way down until the time I was about 6 years old, and about at least a half a dozen incidents that bang, 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 bang were related to me, and I knew immediately where I had come in and had received a rejection, something that kept building in my life. And also, just recently, I'm aware there's another area. And I've been praying about that thing. I don't feel it's completely gone. But anything that affects my ministry, I want it out. And if it hinders me in my ministering in any way, I want it out. And I tell you, God is just bringing me to a new place of humility. And I don't want to stand in the way. I just want to move in with God, and I don't want, you know, these things to hinder me. And along with it was my wife's deliverance. And I thought, you know, do I dare share this, you know, with our people back home? Do I dare share with them and so forth? And so I did. And what I did is I opened the door without realizing it to another group of people that suddenly they could receive this kind of a deliverance, and they opened themselves up to it. And now we've seen some more as a result of it. And, you know, this humbling was a beginning of something. Those, like I said, have opened the door to more deliverances. A lot of new things are happening. And we are seeing people coming from other churches, for instance. And I felt impressed to go and contact a number of ministers. And as a matter of fact, you're going to be having one of the ministers out here. I don't think he's out here right now. Jerry Johnson? Is Jerry Johnson here? Well, that late? Oh, I thought it was right now or within a week or two. But anyway, we begin to contact a number of the ministers of churches that we're familiar with. Now, we didn't know them really well, but we were familiar with them. And we took Simon and took my wife and a couple of us. We went up and we began to pray with them. And there was something that happened that was so tremendous that we just started getting a blessing from it. We went and we knelt in their homes, or we held hands with them, and we began to pray, and the Spirit of the Lord began to come down upon us, and something began to happen in them immediately. And there's one thing that changed, and that was suddenly there was a oneness between us that we've never had. And there's been, you know, especially out in, even in the Pentecostal circles, there's been such a division among the ministers, you know, afraid because, you know, a lot of churches are not witnessing, so they're afraid of losing their people, and there's a lot of hang-ups involved. And so suddenly, as we got together with them and begin to minister to them and share with them what was happening, the Spirit of the Lord came down upon us, and there's a oneness that's developing. And it's tremendous. I tell you, it's opened up a door that I didn't, you know, even though I thought it might happen, I never thought I'd see it. But it's happening. And this brother that's going to be here, his name is Jerry Johnson. He's from Rice Lake, from the church that Brother Warner was from. He passed away, I think, about a year ago. And Jerry Johnson, I was home one morning, on a Monday morning, and I received a telephone call, and this brother called me up, and he said, "You've been on my mind for a week or so," and he said, "and I've been wanting to call you." He said, "but I don't know why." And I said, "well, brother, I know exactly why you called me. I don't have any doubt." And of course, that shocked him a little bit. And then he began to share, and he said that he'd been praying, and I don't know if he had a vision or if it was during prayer or exactly what had happened. But as he was praying, he saw himself on an airplane arriving out here in Seattle. And anyway, and it happened like once, twice, you know, three times maybe, I don't know, several times. And the Lord kept impressing that he should come out here to the chapel, and that his help in this time or something, I don't know what it was, and maybe when he comes out, maybe he can share it with some or something, but and I don't even know if I have it exactly right. But anyway, the only one that he knew locally that knew anything about the chapel out here in Seattle was me, so he called me up. And so he said, "when can I come over?" And I said, "well, we have services every night. You can come any day you want." And so he said, "well, how about tomorrow?" And I thought, well, that's fine, because as enthusiastic as he is and everything. And so this was on, so Tuesday he came to our place about 6 o'clock after work. And we began to share with him what God was doing. And the man, he just began to weep. And he was so excited about it, you know, and he was just shaking like a leaf. And I thought he came to talk. And we'd been there, it was about 7 o'clock. He'd been there about an hour. And he says, "well, aren't you having service?" And I said, "well, sure." You know, I thought, you know, he just wanted to come and talk. I didn't know exactly how he'd take what was going on. And so he said, "well, why don't we go?" And I said, "well, fine, sure." I said, "well, I'll tell you a little bit about what's happening, you know." And so he went over to the church, and we had quite a number of people there. And because he told me Monday he was coming, people knew he was coming, and so that was, you know, that was really a help. And I don't know how many people, about everybody that could, gathered around him. And as he began to pray, and he was kneeling down, and the next thing, over he went, and he laid on the floor. And for about 3 hours, and he went through some of the most fantastic experiences. And his life is transformed. And so now we have contact with the people of the church, Sister Warner, you know, Brother Warner's wife. As a matter of fact, she was there, I believe, this last Friday night when we weren't there. But people from the churches are coming down. We have people from a church in Minneapolis that have been coming down, and God has been doing a work in their lives. And so I don't know the extent, you know, to us it seems like a tremendous thing because we're small. But we are seeing some new realms that are opening up and a new relationship. And this Brother Jerry Johnson, it was just like when we came out and I met Earl Thurner. And I've heard of the man, but I've never met him until we met him at the elders' retreat. And you know how suddenly, you know, you fall in love with somebody? And suddenly I saw him and I thought, and I just love that brother, you know, and I didn't even know who he was. I mean, you know, I love the rest of them too, but it was one of these spontaneous things. And that's what happened with Jerry Johnson. And there was suddenly, and he just felt such a kinship with us. And it's given us an opportunity. And so at least once a week, we're up there, and at least once or twice a week, they're down to our church during our services back and forth, and God has just been blessing them and blessing us. And it's been a tremendous thing. You know, we wondered, you know, after we run out of people, after everybody has received something from the Lord and that initial enthusiasm, what do? Well, God is opening up the doors. The enthusiasm is still building because there's people in other churches that need what God is doing. And so it's an exciting thing. Also, the 29th of June, we're going down to what they call the Rush River Camp. And I don't know if they know what they're in for. But our entire church is going, and we've been, in the summer, we are in prayer meeting, or in the summer, we plan on being in prayer meetings and in the services as much during the day and evening as we can. And so it won't be hard for most of our people to be there and just be praying, waiting upon the Lord and praying. And I'm just expecting God to do such a miracle in that church, or in that fellowship. There's a number of churches involved in bringing people together in the Spirit, and forgetting some of those foolish little beliefs, and not beliefs, but little things that Satan has used to separate the brethren. These are precious people. And I believe that God has opened up a door of fellowship that will help us in a lot of areas and give us an opportunity to even minister to them. Also, there are several things that I thought would be of a special interest to those that know different ones that are back in the chapel, like Tim Simonson. Some of you know him, I'm sure. And just within the last month or two, a couple months, God has really done something in that young man. And he's, I don't know how old he is, but around 20, I believe. But to see him day after day, night after night, well, night after night, he works during the day, come in and fall on his face before God and weep and pray and seek God 7 days a week has been one of the most tremendous things to us in the last couple of months. And Kelly Gertson, who's come back, God is really beginning to do something in that young man. We are just so excited about it. And Dale and Mary, our Dale. And, of course, that is of a special interest to me. I mean, you know, that's exciting when suddenly God begins to move. And I've got to mention that that little incident because it was tremendous. Dale has been involved in what's been going on, but not... I have to say that so you understand, not to the same extent as a lot of other people. He's been busy with a job and working on a house and a lot of other things, but he's just been you know, just he's all behind it, and God's been blessing him, and all kinds of things are happening, and his wife Mary has been really moving in on the Lord, and you know, and both of them have been, and Mary's cousin, her name is Brenda. Mary and her sister were witnessing to her one day, and she just was hungry for the Lord, and so Dale and Mary made plans then to go and to have a Bible study with her and her husband, and so they went, and she gave her heart to the Lord and received the Holy Spirit, and things begin to happen. I mean, she came to church one night, and I don't know, you know, since we left, and so about the second or third time, Dale and Mary went over and had this Bible study, and my wife and I went to bed around, oh, I suppose midnight. I don't know. It was around that time. And anyway, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard this prayer meeting going on. And, you know, the first thing, you know, I'm in service 7 nights a week. And so, you know, and so we're praying all the time, and I immediately thought I'd fallen asleep in church. And, I mean, that was the immediate response. And I reached around, and I discovered I was in bed. And so anyway, I was just, you know, now I was trying to think. Now, who has invited themselves over and is having a prayer meeting? What is this? And it turned out to be that just Dale and Mary had come home, it was 2 o'clock, and the power of God had come down upon them. And they'd had this Bible study, and on the way home, you know, it's one of those experiences like some of us have had and like I've had. I've had this happen to me a couple of times. This last winter, I driving down the road, and suddenly I was so overwhelmed by the Spirit of the Lord, I just pulled the car off to the side and said, "You know, I'm not going to chance it." And just praise the Lord, and then it would lift a little, and I'd drive down the road and pull off to the side. And I've had some trips that I've done that 3 or 4 different times. Well, this happened to Dale on the way home, and he kept pulling the car off. And one time he didn't pull it off, and Mary had to steer it. And he was just laughing and crying and praising the Lord. And God has just done a miracle, just a tremendous thing in him. And I appreciate it. I'm so thankful to the Lord tonight. God has started out to do a work, and the enemy has tried to oppose it. But I don't believe that that's new. I don't think that's new. I think that that's just a common thing. The Spirit, when God begins to move, the enemy tries to stop it. But God is raising up a standard. And whether we're having, you know, a number of us felt like that God was causing another wave to come upon us. And I don't know if that's what it is. I mean, I knew it. I knew that God, you know, even in the time when it seemed like people were getting a little bit discouraged, there was nothing, you know, really new and exciting happening. We begin to feel that God was going to move again in a mighty way. and it's coming. And I don't know what it is, but we're seeing it move through the church in a new order, in a new fashion. And people are getting delivered. Genuine, solid deliverances. And I really appreciate it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe that's kind of the extent of what I really felt to bring, but I just wanted it to be encouraging, because it is. And if any of you out here are discouraged because, it seems that God hasn't gotten to you, don't be sure, too sure He hasn't. Don't be too sure that it already, the enemy would like to come along, like he has with a number of people in our body, and they're getting over it. They're getting a victory in this thing. And he said, just because they didn't have a manifestation, or just because something didn't happen to them, doesn't mean, a visible thing, doesn't mean that God hasn't been working on them. And we've seen some tremendous changes taking place, rapid changes, in people that have experienced nothing. Nothing. At least that's what it seems like. Praise the Lord. This song is one that the Lord has given Pauline a number of years ago, and has been a tremendous blessing to us. Is that the one you're going to sing? Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Pardon us, Keith, but let it rain. Hallelujah. I hate to tell you folks in Wisconsin, but there's going to be 1,000-year rain someday. Hallelujah, and Jesus is going to be King of Kings. A Lord of Lords, my. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Not going to dismiss you quite yet, but shortly. I want to make a few comments tonight. I appreciate having Keith Hill and his family and his those dear friends that have come out and shared with us. Deeply appreciate it. I've come to love them so very, very much. Oh, I love what God is doing. I love God's people. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I want you to love God with all of your heart. Honey, bring me my glasses, will you, sweetie? I love that girl down there. God has started to move in this place when we first started. And He's been moving here lately in some new ways. God's always been moving. He's been moving in some new ways, in some wonderful ways. Let's don't become discouraged and let's let it stop. But let's keep faith and keep it going.
Yes.
And one of the ways to keep it going is to keep active in it.
Yes.
Keep praying, keep believing.
Yes.
Keep praising, keep working for God.
Hallelujah.
And remember the message this morning, don't hunt for feelings and things, but just love Him.
Yes.
And when you talk to Him, talk to Him and believe Him. Keith mentioned that one thing this revival did for him was, and then he mentioned what that was, and one thing it's done for me, one thing it's increased in me, it's given me a confidence. I've always had great convictions about what God was going to do, but it's given me a confidence and an increased faith and understanding that God does what He wants. And nobody can stop the work of God. And nobody can stop Him from blessing His people, excepting those He's blessing if they don't want it, if they fall asleep. But nobody else can stop it. And God decides what to do in us, and He decides what areas to work in and what to do. I have been really made, I brought to a new realization, particularly as the many, many visions and have been shared, and songs in the Spirit and revelations as we have ministered and prayed, how that God would just say, now, I'm going to do this in you, and then I'm going to do that, and this until this has to be done. I'm going to do this. And you just see him as a surgeon that walks in and just says, okay, now I know what your condition is, and I'm going to do this and this and this and this. The surgeon doesn't say, would you want this, and do you want this, and how would you like that, and would you care for this drug, and would you like to do this? And we kind of thought, you know, in the past that it's kind of a select type of thing, like a cafeteria, you know. You walk in and say, Lord, well, I'll take this, and I'll take some of this, and give me this. But we find out the Lord says, no, I'm going to set your table. And that's what God is doing. And I've come to realize this like I've never have before. And I realize all of you haven't had the same experience and don't realize it to the same extent, perhaps. But I've come to realize in a greater way than ever before that this is God's work. It's God's people. It's God's truth. You know, sometimes I've become concerned about Community Chapel here in Seattle. And I've looked and I said, Lord, there's all these kind of faces I don't know, and I don't know if I can trust everybody's face I see out there, and there's a lot of people maybe not moving in, and what about this person? What background did he come from, and where are these people, and what are they thinking? And then these people are confused, we get all this traffic and new ones coming in and all these various things, how come these people are already moving? They don't know what some of us know, and they haven't been with us and developed certain things and so forth. And then I've been reminded, it's God's people. It's God's work. It's God's name. It's what he has at stake. It's all his. I mean, my job isn't to get a holy club. I would like one. But that's not my job. You know, really, I would like one. I would like a real, you know, real tight-knit, holy, holy club, you know. But we've got to bring in and let God deal. I know God has to do it. And I'm at a place where I just say, Lord, that person you look out there, and that person you don't know whether, you know, he's a tear or a wheat, and he doesn't know either. And you don't know whether he's a church or not, and he doesn't know either. But let the Holy Ghost work on him, and one day that fellow may be set ablaze. We're finding this out. Somebody, he sleeps for 3 years in the pew, and this thing you know, he's on fire with God. We don't know what happened, but he's just been sitting under there, and God's been working on him. And this other person, he's going down and down and down and down. It looks like hopeless, but wait till he hits bottom. And he finally wakes up and decides he's sick and tired of the devil doing that to him. So he starts to pray and move, and all of a sudden he's ablaze in God, doing better than somebody else who didn't hit bottom. And so we've come to realize this is God's business. I mean, our job is to preach the word, pray, and trust God, and let the Holy Ghost do the work. And you know, it's so easy to try to be the Holy Ghost for people. But when you just let God do it, then you can relax and say, Lord, I fulfilled my obligation. If I don't do any better than Jeremiah did, and I don't mean as far as faith and prayer and weeping and the heart of the people, but I mean as far as results. You know, he preached and didn't get much results. But he did what God said to do. He gave him the opportunity. And Ezekiel had trouble with that. He had trouble getting response out of the congregation of Israel there in Babylon. Jeremiah had trouble with the congregation of Israel in Jerusalem. But they did what God asked them to do. And it eventually accomplished its purpose. The work of both of them ended up with Israel becoming a pious movement, but they couldn't see it at the time. The people were not in that place. God wasn't working in the heart. But he let things fall to pieces. He let things happen. He let God come down and spank him good and hard and judge him. He allowed things to happen until finally the people got to a place where God could do something in them. So we can't always judge it on a short-term basis. All of our church needs to come into this unity of the Spirit and get into this move of God and not sit back and hang on and watch this thing as though you're watching a television station. We need a freedom in worship. We need a real freedom. That means you trust and you just let go and forget about what's going to come next and trying to do this and, you know, keeping in this, you know, reserved denominational stance. Just let go and worship God and forget there's anybody there but you and worship God. We need to really get free, totally free. I want you to be free. Freer than you've ever been in the services. Let God move. Open up your heart and just begin to rejoice and take every word that's said and just make it wonderful in God. And here I am, Lord. It's going to mean, really, a lot of people are going to have to come to face the facts that they've been choked down to nothing, practically, cloud over them, wrapped up and chained, bagged and sacked by the devil, and we're going to have to get delivered. We need to bind together and quit putting it off. Get groups together. You need to initiate action to get free, my brother. Call different ones, get people, and begin to work and pray in this thing until you are free. Intercede, intercede, intercede. I think one of the things that has enabled Community Chapel at Chippewa Falls to have the go as far as they've gone is the fact that, you see, we have a lot of advantages they don't, and they have some advantages we don't. And one of the advantages they have right now is that being a smaller church, they can put it, and without, you know, having 200-300 visitors in it and you know, who knows what, they're able to just open the whole thing up to the church and do everything that we do in our side prayer meetings in the whole church. So most of these seven-day-a-week meetings they're talking about are prayer meetings, basically. And they come together, and they aren't, you know, they aren't things to take photographs of. They wouldn't make great movies, a lot of them. I mean, they come and they pray, and this person's laying over there, and you don't know if he's dead or praying. And but you know, he's doing things in God, and things are happening here, and people are praying. And it's not a big Hollywood extravaganza. I mean, you don't get the idea that everybody is doing Jericho March and flip flops in the spirit. But people are praying, and then somebody here begins to come through, and God begins to work. That person's praying and praying and praying, and then all of a sudden God is setting them free. And it's not that everybody is a burst with glory. That's not what's happening. It isn't that they're way up there and everybody is in the, you know, in the seeing the angels. But they're praying, 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 praying. And you know, whenever you're praying that much, things will happen. And we need, if we want what they're receiving, we need to pray and pray and pray and pray. I'll be glad when we can open up the door to everybody. But you know, if everybody will start moving in the worship service, God will start coming down and everybody will be in it. And we want you to do that. We want you to really travail in prayer. Really travail in prayer. One reason we don't realize how much God is doing in us is because we tend to view everything by what we feel. And you see, God will do something and you don't feel a thing. But you begin to sense as the weeks go back by and you look back, hey, I'm not having trouble with that anymore. I'm not doing that. This is happening. And but see, we don't know because we tend to go by what we feel. We're so feeling oriented that we fail to understand, and then we go away saying nothing happened. You know, you pray for somebody, you know, and they say, boy, I still feel pain. Well, this person before me, his pain left. My pain stayed. He got healed and I didn't. That doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that. It may take a few days for your pain to subside. Don't give up and throw your healing away because you don't immediately feel something. God could have smitten that particular disease right there. If you had cancer, for example, and it was causing you lots of pain, he could kill the cancer and you would not feel one thing. Your body is still going to pain because of all that it's done to the flesh. Give it a few weeks to slough off and the flesh to heal. You can't always demand immediate miracle of healing. What's the same thing in the things of the Spirit, too. Now, if the services don't flow in the Spirit, and everybody will start to intercede in the heart, not out loud, you know, with it, but in the heart, while they're singing, and while they're cooperating, instead of saying, well, this isn't doing so hard, is it? No, not tonight. How about you? No, I don't think so, you know. If everybody would start to pray inside as they're singing together and intercede, the Lord would drive out any demonic resistance, and people will begin to exercise faith and begin to take a part and begin to connect themselves as as pieces of a tube until we get one pipeline the Spirit can flow through, and God will come down and begin to work. And that spirit, that service will be rescued, and it can be the greatest service of all. Keith mentioned that as a result of the move there, some pastors are beginning to seek to get in on it there, and you know, that's always typical. Well, brother, you let the rain really fall. I mean, you let it really come down. You let people get things really happen in a super way, They're going to be clamoring. It's going to take care of the interrelationship problem real cleanly and real neatly. We also, just in the last couple of weeks, have had two pastors that have requested to get in with our eldership, our retreats, get in with us. They've asked how they can get more integrated with us. They want to become a part of more with us and this move of God. We've had two ourselves just in the last 2 weeks. And I've written a note to Ron Lowry, who was handling the interfacing, and said, well, let's go ahead and do this and try to get us together. And the Lord willing, we'll be doing that. We probably will be in the services. Some of them may even be here tonight. I don't know. You know, we've had intercessors, and they've really been a blessing. One good thing about this ministry of intercessory is it doesn't tend, because it isn't out in front, it doesn't tend to puff you up and put you, you know, in that type of a jeopardy. But it does something for you as well as for those you're praying for, and it really builds the church. I would like to seek an army of intercessors. It would be wonderful if every one of you would become an intercessor. If every person says, I am going to become an intercessor, I mean, I am not your full-time occupation. I mean, I realize some of you are in such full-time ministry right now, you can hardly know how you're going to make it. But if everybody in their hearts, all the time they have, will begin to intercede. You know, so many people just are not praying. Now, we've got lots of people that are really praying, really, really praying. And then others are praying. But some people just don't pray much. And we really need to begin to spend our time, our available time, our free time in our mind, when you're going from point A to point B, waiting upon God, praying, letting His mind. You know, it's going to build something. If everybody in this church would begin taking all the available time when the mind is empty or full of, you know, nothing and a little bit of everything that, except the Lord, if they would begin taking that time to pray, my, we would begin seeing changes. And the changes would begin happening in them. One more point I want to make is we need to, as Keith said, not resist the need for personal deliverances. And God is going to continue to deliver us until we're completely free. So we shouldn't be around saying, who, me need to be delivered? You know. We need to say, Lord, keep delivering me, and keep delivering me, and keep delivering me until there's nothing more to deliver. And then when you get to that point, deliver me out of this earth. God has got work to do in our hearts. And we need not stand back in our sanctimonious, you know, Bible under arm, Pentecostal smile, you know. Who, me, got demons after me, you know. Brother, he's after every saint. And there's nobody that hasn't been impacted by his worldwide $20 billion program. We've all brought up in this world, and we have not escaped it. And we need to come in to the God perspective of things in a real spiritual perspective. We've had requests for prayer for 10-year-old Dennis M., that's what it says, E.M., living in California. He's dying of cancer and has only a few weeks to live. His parents have requested prayer. This comes from Larry Lemke. Would you stand with me and pray? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I would like music ministry to take the platform for just a minute before we close. There's a certain request here. I won't explain it all to you. You just have to trust some things. Keith, how would you like to play us a song? I haven't heard you sing. Do you ever, can you find a guitar around here someplace? and maybe sing to us a little bit before we close. Anybody feels a need to go away, you can go ahead and slip out. But we're going to close in a few couple minutes. We're going to sing one song here. And then Keith is going to close the service in a song. Really appreciated having him there. This will be the last service they'll be with us at this time. Looking forward to him coming back at, hopefully, a camp meeting. Hallelujah. You know, I would like to see us move in God now and build and build and let it build in us and work in us. You know, because here, God is a being who wants to fulfill our need. And he works on the basis of our hearts and our faith and our love and our desire for him. And if we'll just get out of this mode of, I want this feeling and this thing, and Lord, when do I get a chance to fall down in the Spirit? But say, Lord, I want you. I need you in my life. I need your mind. I need your heart. I need your love. I need your power. I need your anointing. I want to be like you. Just change me and make me like Jesus. And I'm going to wait upon you. I'm going to tarry until I'll be endued with power from on high. That will happen in your life. Little by little, God will change you, and sometimes drastically and quickly, surprisingly quickly, he will change you. Praise the name of the Lord. Keith.